This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Darren Revelle will join us in the next segment, Action Network. Here was Russell Wilson, Denver Broncos quarterback, following the Broncos' loss to the Carolina Panthers this past weekend, in which Mike Purcell, a veteran defensive lineman on the Broncos, there was a shot of him, a video you guys have probably seen by now, where he goes up to Russell Wilson very aggressively and yells at him before Russell Wilson is taking the field. It was a pretty striking visual. Russell Wilson looked kind of intimidated by the whole thing. Here was Wilson after the game about the interaction between he and his teammate.
Mike and I are on the same page. You know, he came off after they kicked the field goal, and he was pissed off. He just said, "We got to F and go," you know, and. I agree, you know. So me and him on the same page. We, you know, there's no animosity there at all. We're on the same page. We got to win. You know, we got to come out here and have some grit to us, some mentality to us. We got to be able to win these football games. And you know, so those guys are out there battling every play. You know, on offense, we got to be able to capitalize. And so there's nothing there at all. I mean, me and him, there was no. Nothing there.
Okay, yeah. Well, you still got 6 more games left, buddy.
Sometimes people just despise everything you are and stand for. But other than that, we're cool.
All good.
Yeah. By the way, I didn't think Russell Wilson looked intimidated in that. I thought he looked kind of like almost perplexed. Like he just like kind of like, oh, this is happening. All right, whatever.
I guess maybe because he didn't fight back. I'm like, come on, stick up for yourself. here is how bad Russell Wilson has been this year. Proof positive that Russell Wilson is terrible at football right now. The Sunday night game next week, not this week. This week we get the Colts again in prime time. In week 14, the Sunday night football game was supposed to be the Chiefs and the Broncos, which is, if you're making the schedule before the season, totally understandable. This is how bad Russell Wilson's been. He got Patrick Mahomes flexed out of prime time.
Oh my God.
Patrick Mahomes is going to be the MVP of the league.
For an AFC West classic
division
battle.
Game at Mile High Stadium.
This is, Steve Atwater taking heads off
type
of battle, like, what the hell?
Yep. Russell Wilson has been so unwatchable. He got the Chiefs and the Broncos with Patrick Mahomes playing, and it flexed off for the Dolphins and the Chargers.
Wow, that's a weird one.
Yeah.
That's not something you would have predicted a couple years ago. What is it going to be in Kansas City or in Denver?
Denver.
Man, I wonder if it was in Kansas City, maybe they would have kept it. I feel like the environment's just going to be so ugly in Denver.
That could be.
Denver, you know, people, television viewers just absolutely love them some offense. It's one thing we know. They love offense. The Texans and the Colts are tied for the worst scoring offense in the league right now at 15.8 points per game. The Broncos are dead last with 14.3 points per game.
Wow.
It's really, really bad. I was skeptical of just what the Broncos could be with Russell Wilson. I'm not going to pat myself on the back. I kept doubting myself. I felt like, all right, well, you know, there's still something there, obviously, and maybe really just does need to be in the right kind of scheme with the right kind of offensive coordinator. Lo and behold, by the way, Darrell Bevell is working with Tua Tagovailoa.
He is.
And he's the one that forever was blamed for Russell not advancing and everything. Then obviously Geno Smith is doing just fine. But so right now, in terms of points per game, the Broncos are worse than last year's Jaguars. They are worse than – oh, they're not as – oh, yeah, they were worse than the Jets 2 years ago in terms of scoring offense. They're just really, really, really bad.
Yeah, it's horrible. And, you know, as far as Russ goes, the trade, like even the way it's worked out, like the trade is the trade. Like you took a stab at it. You traded a couple firsts and some other shrapnel for Russell Wilson. And you know that there's a chance it might not work out. The trade part of it is a failure, like the picks, but I get that. The contract made no sense to me. Like that, yeah. Like when they made the trade, I'm like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. When they signed him to the extension, I was like, what are you doing? Like, he hasn't played a game for you yet. You don't have to do this right now. You can do this anytime, you know, unless maybe there's a wink wink to him agreeing to come to Denver, that there would be a deal coming. That would be the only reason I would think that. You know, that you want to live up to your word that you promised him a contract. But,
yeah.
They're in trouble. And I was talking to a buddy of mine in Denver yesterday, and I said, well, he's a buddy that used to be in Denver, roots for the Broncos. And I said, who would you rather be right now, the Texans or the Broncos? Like, as a fan, like, would you rather be a Texans fan or a Bronco fan? He's like, Texan fan. You're going to fire your coach. You're going to have the first pick in the draft. You got to hope that they hire well and that they make the right pick. But right now, you know, they can fire Nathaniel Hackett, but you're stuck with Russell Wilson, man.
You're stuck with Russell Wilson, and which coach is going to come in to coach Russell Wilson?
Right.
Nathaniel Hackett is not the guy. Like, Nathaniel Hackett is David Culley, except with a Russell Wilson, or I don't know. What David Culley did have Deshaun Watson, to be fair. hey. He won more games than Lovey, but he did have Deshaun Watson on his roster.
It's true. He was on the roster every week.
Yep. Everybody just back off with that talk. I think that with that new contract that they did not have to give Russell, except that I think that was one of those classic scenarios where Russell was going to prove the trade if he felt like there was a new deal coming. But I also think that Russell Wilson is that perfect guy when speaking to owners, when speaking to the Walmart heir that owns the team now. Is it Walmart? Is it a Walmart?
Yeah, it's Walmart. Yep, yeah. Sure is.
Like, I could totally see Russell Wilson. Remember you and I, off air, I did the little experiment where I could see if I could squeeze 15 business buzzwords into one pitch for myself. I envision myself getting myself a Jack Easterby-type role very easily in any NFL organization, the same way Russell Wilson can smooth talk an owner just by saying simple things like, well, I'll tell you what, Sean, the whole thing I see with the Broncos is they've lost their brand purpose. People need to be intimately aware with the brand purpose, and you need to be able to connect that in a way that shows digital maturity that you can take all the AI resources you have available to you and find engagement using first-party data to connect with your fan base. Because it's all about solo-mo these days. You know what I'm talking about. Social, local, mobile. And that's how you connect with a fan base, and that's how you create that customer lifetime value. So I feel like in coming here to this team, and with a hyper-personalization that I can bring, that the Broncos will be taken to a new level, and your billions that you spent on this will seem like chicken scratch to what this franchise is worth in the future. Go die, everybody. Yes. This is what I bring to the table, Walton family. Thought leadership. A lot of people are afraid to talk about leadership. Nobody even knows to talk about thought leadership.
I didn't know it existed.
I'm going to define it in my own head right now.
I'm going to talk about it all the time now.
Yeah.
Now that you've enlightened me on its existence.
Dude, I swear to God, man. It's every head coach and GM job these days or director of football operations is just a TED Talk going straight into straight into the cocaine-fueled ego of a Jim Irsay. It's like, oh, well, you know, look, I'm going to tell you. Listen, I'll tell you what, Jim. Here's the thing. When I think of thought leadership, I don't think even in terms of words. That's a tertiary concern. We're beyond that now. I think of Oprah Winfrey, Tony Robbins, Neil Patel, even the late Steve Jobs. You've watched their videos, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I've seen the job. I saw the movie Jobs. That's
not in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
Yes.
Listen to that. No, honestly, though, this is this crap. This is why I can't read business books anymore. It's just word salad with the right adjectives. Okay, Sean, beyond building their brand and successful businesses, one thing stands out among these people. They've become experts in their space and build credibility over time. That's what thought leadership is all about.
Ugh.
Thought leadership is about expressing thoughts, ideas, or insights to demonstrate your expertise. I'm like, okay, so being really good at what you do is apparently not, that's not what it is, Sean.
No.
It's thought leadership, okay?
Thought leadership. Oh, my God.
Hey, do you know how these people got to the top? They got really awesome at something. And then they sold it.
No way. Blueprint. Ian Rappaport was on the DA show yesterday, Damon Amanda Lara's show. And this is where we're at with Russell Wilson. Ian Rappaport bringing up the possibility of the Broncos trying to move on already from Russell Wilson 11 games into a 5-year contract.
You're stuck with him at least for another year. You know, after 2023, you could sort of do something. On the other hand, you know, here's the other thing. Like, I know, you know, the cap hit is enormous and it would all be really bad. If he is bad enough to make you lose games, which he has not been very good at all, at some point, having anyone else is worth it. So, like, I don't know what's going to happen. But it is very interesting. Like, they probably keep him, but at some point you say no player is worth even with the cap hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the cap hit.
At some point.
The cap hit, if they cut him, if they just move on, is $107 million next year. Like, that's just. Now, if they trade him, it's different because then the team that's trading for him inherits some of that guaranteed money because it's future salary. But if they cut him, they owe him all that money up front. It's $85 million in 2024. It's $50 million in 2025. Thankfully, Damon Amanda Lara pointed out the absurdity of what Ian Rappaport is talking about here.
You'd have to then eat the cap hit and pay somebody else unless you're just going to draft a rookie and just thrust him in there, right? I mean, it's not only the cause.
Which, I mean, you know, I guess Seattle has their draft pick now, but in 2 years, they'll have a first rounder. And, you know, there's other. You can sign a bridge start. I mean, there are things you can do. These are all sort of like the nuclear option, but there are things you can do.
Yeah, says you, there's things you can do. Can you imagine? I know, Texan fans, it's really bad right now. I get it. I watch every snap just like you do. It's a bad football team. Can you imagine your best case scenario for the next 3 or 4 years being sitting through this version of Russell Wilson before having to wait even two years to get a first-round pick back and then maybe have to survive a bridge quarterback for a little? Like, your best-case scenario if you're Denver is you're eating a ton of cap hit to have a bridge quarterback to draft a guy in 2024, maybe.
Yeah.
At least the best-case scenario for the Texans is you move on to a competent head coach, you use the number one overall pick on a good young quarterback, and you've got a good young quarterback moving forward. You know, I'm not saying that they, of all the 32 teams, that the Texans scenario is one of the 10 best for the next three to five years. What I am saying is, oh my God, thank God Russell Wilson is not the quarterback of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, that's if we look back on this over time, I think probably, let's say the Texans pull out of this and they end up being competitive again a couple years from now. I think what people will do in with the benefit of hindsight, and without having to live through it again, I think the obvious thing will be, oh, okay, well, they really should have just pulled the Band-Aid off in one fell swoop.
Right.
And I don't know why they wasted time with this, that, the other thing. But even then, the problem is that it ignores what the hell was going on with Deshaun Watson and how do you extricate yourself from this. There was a lot of the decisions that were made that seem cut and dry right now, they were done with a huge veil of uncertainty. And if you think about just when free agency opened in 2020, you're still sorting your way through. That was right before the first allegation came out, right before free agency in the league year began.
Day before.
There was no way. Yeah. So even if a trade had been agreed to with Deshaun Watson at that point, there's no way you would have pulled it off because you're not allowed to execute the trade until free agency begins. So if somebody had agreed to a trade in February, once those allegations came out, that trade wasn't going through.
Yep.
Then you get to the draft. There's more allegations out there. You know, every step along the way, there was some new gum in the process that kept you from really moving beyond it. And that's why it was hard to just... So when Cully was hired, I think they were in that state of flux of not quite knowing what is this going to be. Can we pull the trigger on resetting this thing?
Yep.
Or is Deshaun Watson, you know, going to actually be back here?
I saw some conjecture on my Twitter timeline yesterday. My apologies if you listened to the show and it was part of a conversation you were having on Twitter and I was just able to be a spectator in the whole thing. People kicking around the idea of the Texans doing a Brock Osweiler trade with the Broncos like the Browns did. Like, hey, we'll take Russell Wilson off your hands if you staple 3 first-round draft picks to him in the future.
Yeah.
And you make Russell Wilson your quarterback for the next couple of years until the cap hit's not so bad that you can cut him and you've accumulated some draft picks. And my first thought was, well, does Russ have a no-trade clause? I don't see one on his spot rack page, so... That's not going to happen, but it is kind of funny to think about. Like, hey, sure, we'll take Russ. Give us 4 first-round picks.
If you get it, yeah, if you trade your way out of it, and which they approved it. They don't allow buying picks in the NFL, and they don't allow, like, kind of or using picks to find space or anything, supposedly. But the Brock Osweiler trade sure did feel like that.
100%.
And they approved it. Like, it was an NBA-style trade.
Yeah.
To the point where, remember, poor Bill Polian was trying to make sense of it on
I didn't
Aaron.
See he, this. No.
Oh, gosh. I'll have to go back and
find
it.
Is it on YouTube?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I just remember he was... typing furiously right now. No, honestly, as much as, look, I did not like Bill Polian when he was a younger man, so I feel like I'm not picking on an older man, but I can only go so far. In this instance, it felt like, okay, this is just a poor old guy who doesn't quite get the way things have changed, because he was evaluating the Brock Osweiler trade like it was... like it was an actual move by the Browns, you know, like that it was somehow them trying to get their starting quarterback.
Okay.
Even dumb Joe Thomas thought that Brock Osweiler was a starting quarterback.
Oh my God.
Everybody knew what was going on except for Bill Polian and Joe Thomas.
Dumb Joe Thomas. all right. I searched Bill Polian and Brock Osweiler trade, and there's some SportsCenter YouTubes on here. I'll have to see if Polian is part of these during the break.
I call him Dumb Joe Thomas, by the way, because you always cringe when athletes do this. He tweeted out once. This is when I realized I was like, Joe Thomas is being dumb here. He's a smart guy, but he's dumb about some things. He started like tweeting out when he was at the airport someday about how like basically people in first class weren't getting all the privileges that they're supposed to with their ticket.
Oh my God.
I'm like, dude,
what
are you
doing,
man?
Holy crap. Holy smokes.
Like, what is with all these people trying to board at the same time as me? I bought a first class ticket for a reason.
Look at this glass of wine they gave me. Look at this pour.
Two Pinot Noirs to choose from. Thanks a lot, United. Am I right? And except he says, am I right, seriously?
Yeah, not the hashtag, no. All right, Darren Revelle, Action Network, will join us in the next segment. We'll get to Darren's thoughts. I wonder if Darren's got thoughts on Deshaun Watson coming back here and the coverage that it's getting. Also, I want to ask Darren Revelle about Bryce Young. Is there a chance that NIL is enough to keep Bryce Young in college if he doesn't want to be the first overall pick? We'll get Revelle's thoughts on that. As well, you are listening to Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Joined right now by on the hotline by our good friend, the Action Network. Download the free Action Network app. Darren Revelle is joining us on the show right now, actionnetwork.com. Darren, it's good to have you. Hey, did I see you tweeting that you actually did a little bit of cooking of some sort for Thanksgiving, a holiday that you hate, last week? Did I see that?
I probably did some cooking. I didn't do that much eating. Okay. Did a lot of betting.
You did? Okay, how'd you do?
I did okay. Everything's erased from yesterday's Saudi Arabia moment. I lost maybe $5,000 on the final 3 minutes when Saudi Arabia scored. Oh. So everything that's happened before that has been, my 11:30 yesterday was like having 7 cups of coffee because I couldn't believe it.
But oh, that's
everything is erased. Yeah.
Yeah. That's brutal in one fell swoop. Hey, what has been the wagering traffic here in the United States on World Cup? Like, how big a gambling? We know the March Madness is a huge gambling event and the Super Bowl is big. Like, where does the World Cup stack up in that?
I think you are figuring out like what to do. Mm-hmm. It's strange for a lot of people, right? Because people are into live betting and they're like, what do I do? Like, my philosophy is like, if the game is like at 60 minutes and it's 1-0, well, hit the correct score, 1-0, maybe you got a shot. I do know that people are betting on the U.S. and they did against Iran. I also was pronouncing it Iran. Mm-hmm. Against Iran, 93% of the money was on the U.S. I actually had a lot of money on Iran, which made it very difficult. I know I'm the
that is a deal. Mercenary right there.
I'm just saying, hey, there's no value at the U.S. at minus 110. That's not what they are.
So honestly, finding people like finding events where people are betting irrationally with their hearts instead of their brains is generally a pretty good strategy, right? Like the public doesn't move the line as much as people.
Action Network office. It was difficult even in the Action Network office to to have $2,000 on Iran. It's a little it was a little bit. The boss kicked me out of the office. Out of his office for a bit, but even in a company where you understand, value, but it was awkward and weird.
It's probably a dossier,
but it was the right
on
bet. Just because it lost, it doesn't mean it was the right, it was the wrong bet. But I think people are just trying to, it's so, soccer is so different from our sports in terms of flow, in terms of, betting live, there aren't natural breaks. That I think people are really figuring out. I mean, this is really the first legal World Cup for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't bet live with most of your bookies. So that's kind of been an interesting thing.
So the Rose Bowl is in. So now it's official that the college football playoffs will be 12 teams starting in 2024, according to Brett McMurphy. I would imagine for gambling, like the more playoff games, the better.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Just point. Just like when you pointed a game between Middle Tennessee and Tulane and say, it's a bowl game. It's a bowl game. That creates more betting. If this is, more of a playoff scenario, that creates more betting. So yes, there's it's definitely becomes a bigger event, a bigger pie, bigger time to throw your money down.
What is it? Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine about this the other day, who's much more of a college football fan than I am. What is your sense now that we're a couple years into NIL and transfer portals and pretty much whatever else? What is your sense on the state of college football?
Well, I think things are settling a little bit down on the NIL. I think after you look at Texas A&M and Miami and their results, I think things have, and maybe even despite, you know, Texas is not a disaster, but is Quinn Ewers really the man in how he was rewarded? You know, and we'll have to see with Arch Manning. Even though he doesn't need the money and might not get the same money because he doesn't need the money, still, I think that things are settling out a little bit. You know, Tennessee for a while would be like, okay, well, what happens if they became national champions and you know how much money they spent? I think things are settling down on the pay for play part of it just by virtue of it settling itself. Now the transfer portal is still wild and seems like, you know, everyone's becoming a free agent if they're not happy or offering their services, and a lot of things are going on behind the scenes. I think the transfer portal is now more nuts than the inducement portal.
Darren Revelle, Action Network, joining us here on Sports Radio 610. Along those lines, Darren, Bryce Young is a guy who is an established NIL commodity. He's also likely to be the first pick in the NFL draft, a pick that the Houston Texans are likely to have. We had some listeners kicking around the idea like, hey, the Texans are a dumpster fire right now. Bryce Young might not want to step into a situation where the team...
The old John Elway?
Not even the old John Elway, like, force his way to somewhere else. Like, is NIL for a guy like Bryce Young, is the potential for NIL enough to where he says, I'll still make a few million bucks if I go back to Alabama and the draft will be there in 2024? What are your thoughts?
I think it's there in the NBA. I think so. So NIL saves a guy who would be like Kofi Coburn, right, at Illinois, where it's like, okay, you're going to be the 38th pick. You're not even going to get, you won't even get a 5-year guaranteed deal. You know, you get a 2-year deal, and it'd be $3.5 million, and we can furnish you $1.8 million. That's that. I don't see Bryce with the numbers that Bryce Young would make at $40 million. I don't think you can get there to make any sense of it.
Yeah.
No shot. That's the other thing too, is I would just sit that kid down and tell him the cautionary tale of Matt Barkley. And, you know, the who knows where he actually would have gone if he had come out, but he was projected to be a top pick.
He was projected at one point. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
What about Matt Leinart too?
Yeah. Matt Leinart was going to be one. He came back to
He went 10.
Yeah. He did. But Darren, he had a really good time that one year he went back, and we've got the pictures to prove it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hey, that's true. You can't put a price on some experience.
That's right. Hot tubs and funnels and everything else. Like that's,
If Jim Irsay could pay $1 billion to be the quarterback at USC for 1 year, if that were actually possible, I think he would be doing it.
Yes, absolutely. Darren Revelle joining us. Hey, Darren, Deshaun Watson's return to Houston is a big topic, certainly here, and I know it's a topic around the league. What are the gambling angles on this one right now? We haven't seen Deshaun Watson play in 2 years. Is this Cleveland and Houston game? Houston's become a pretty good team to fade lately and bet against. Thoughts from a gambling perspective?
You know what? I love this game for the under. I do. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, the Texans haven't been that great, and I think Deshaun Watson's naturally going to come out rusty, and so I don't know. I like the under in this game.
You know what, Darren? It would be interesting for some of your number grinders over there. This team is so weird because you talk about a bend but don't break defense. They are so atrocious in so many ways, and yet they're like 10th in red zone defense.
Certainly. There's a lot of misconceptions about people playing uniforms, and you know, the Texans are like that. I mean, my favorite one is tonight, where you're like, oh man, how would I, you know, I'm the unders king, and in the first, you know, 5 weeks, I'm like, no, I'm never going to touch the Eagles under. That's like the Chiefs under. You don't touch that. And then you realize, wait a second, the Eagles have like the greatest deviance between who they are at home versus on the road. they score like 9 points less on the road. And they're the only team in the NFL who's 6-0 to the under. So it also means that they're being miscalculated either, you know, at first by the guys making the lines or even how it pushes to the public. So there's all those misconceptions. And I think the Texans defense is the same thing, you know, like not great, but like they haven't let up 50 points.
Yeah, and these two teams are both going to be running the football, which means it shortens yes. the game and everything else. The total is a high one. It's 47. Darren, I like that bet. I'm with you on that one.
I even say, you know, get your I'm always I don't know. I don't like 40. I always think about like what the number is, like what's the game and what's the number, and I push it to obviously the biggest number that you always push it beyond is if it's like 40 and a half, that 41 is like one of the most key numbers in totals. I would even push it to, I'm addicted to kind of just pushing it to like 48 and a half, take like -135, mm-hmm. make yourself a little bit more comfortable, but it's my favorite total of the week, so I like it.
Okay, good. Well, a little bet on the way out from Darren Revelle. Darren Revelle, Action Network. Download the free Action Network app. My sons both have it, and they always send me their screen grabs of their bets. They're like, hey, Pop, this Action Network app that Darren Revelle talks about is amazing. So go download it today. Darren, we always appreciate the time. Enjoy the games.
I tell you what my kids say when we're watching games. Did I ever tell you?
No. What are they?
They're like, who's your dad rooting for? And they go, he's rooting for no points, no one to score, no offense.
Hey.
I'm like, hey, unders feed you, kids.
Just, exactly. You know. Exactly. Exactly. That's fun. So your kids are younger though. My sons are in their mid-20s. So they
Oh no. We're at 8 or 10.
Yeah.
You know, one of my sons begs me, do not bet, but it's like I'm trying to normalize it. Like, I'm trying to normalize it, and most of the time, I don't, like, scream out loud, because that's, like, when my wife starts asking me about numbers.
Yeah.
Luckily, she doesn't have access to the Action app and the total amount of money bet. I don't know if you've seen that update now, that where in the app, it now tells you how much you've bet over the week, the month, and all time.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Oh, that's cool.
So
that's a cool
little
feature.
So it allows you to, I've put it out there. Should I share you what the,
yeah.
God, this is, so the last 30, I'm at $90,655.
That's your total amount bet over the last 30 days?
Yes.
Do you write off your losses as a business expense, Darren?
I don't have losses.
There it is. There it is.
but you can write off your write off your gambling losses. Yeah.
That is true. Independent of whether you're actually in the gambling industry.
My wife saw the all-time number, which is there. Which popped up when they did this update, which is from December 2018.
Right.
It doesn't matter that it says plus 57,000, because that's what I am.
Right.
It would, the number of what I bet would be an automatic divorce. An automatic, like, you have got to be kidding
me. Yeah.
Like, automatic divorce. Doesn't matter that I'm up. It's over. It is over.
The big thing I've learned in this segment, Darren Revelle's wife does not listen to this show. That's what I've just learned.
She doesn't listen to the show. She's luckily not on Twitter. She is on Instagram. I sometimes share things.
Okay.
But I think she just scrolls by it so that she shows that she cares, but I know she's not looking.
We promise not to put this segment up like on the station's Twitter feed
she's
or on Instagram.
Yeah, don't make a cut of it.
Yeah.
But
we won't.
She's relatively uninterested in my life.
Okay.
Tell,
so. that's a healthy relationship right there.
Yes,
I like it.
It is.
Absolutely. It is. Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Darren Revelle joins us.
Hey, I'm going with Kate Upton to the White House Correspondents Dinner. Okay. Honey.
That's
back
been
tomorrow. Okay.
That happened. Darren Revelle. Darren, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the games.
Right, you got it.
Catch up next week. Always fun with Darren Revelle joining us here on the show. $90,000 in the last 30 days.
Jeez.
Must be nice.
Well, yeah, but you know the margins. It's the thin margins there, Sean.
I just like the magnitude of the dollar, Seth. Let me enjoy
that.
That's
how much he's gambled.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's a lot of money, man. That's a lot of stress. Well, I don't know. I mean, he just said he had 5,000 or something on Saudi Arabia. It might only be like 15 games.
If there's smaller bets at a time, then he's not, you know, he's not going to have a cash flow issue.
Yeah.
He's either, even if he's slightly worse, what's the break even number you got to clear to cover the vig and everything to actually
like 52.8%.
So if you're right 52.8% of the time, then you're breaking even.
Yep.
So, it's
He had all of his profit for the World Cup wiped out by Saudi Arabia in 3 minutes yesterday.
Man, soccer's got to be a stressful one to bet on.
Yep.
Just like watching volleyball is the most stressful sport if you like are rooting for a team, like high school volleyball, because of the rail when it gets up to 25-24 and it just keeps going and going and
that's
going.
That's tense, man.
Yeah.
That's tense.
I got to start gambling on high school volleyball.
Okay. Final segment coming up. We'll talk to Landry. Brandon Scott is in for John Lopez today. We'll find out what they've got going on. Does Cleveland have their finger on the pulse of what it's going to be like here in Houston on Sunday? We'll play some of the audio for Landry, get his take on that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Final segment. We'll find out what the guys got going on In the Loop. Landry Locker, Brandon Scott in for John Lopez today. So Seth pulled this audio from something called the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, which includes...
Oh, God.
You know what it is, Landry?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's... neither here nor there. This is not a referendum on how good or bad the show is.
No, I just know I have an idea of where this is going.
Well, this is the Jay Crawford, formerly of ESPN, who's an Ohio guy. He is on this show along with some other athletes, I guess, on that show. And they were talking about the possible environment that Deshaun Watson could be walking into this weekend. This might be the biggest disconnect that people up in Cleveland have with the boots on the street down here in Houston over what the vibe will be at the stadium on Sunday. Here was the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show cut with Jay Crawford.
I want to ask you guys about something Tim said. Tim said he thinks it's the perfect scenario for Deshaun Watson because he's playing a team in the Houston Texans that's got
the worst
one victory
team
on the season.
Yeah.
On one hand, yes, you want them to go against a team that talent-wise you feel you should be able to handle. But we can't not talk about the other part of it.
That's going to be a tough atmosphere.
So Deshaun, wherever he goes, is going to get the Michael Vick treatment.
Yes.
But it'll be nothing like what he gets in Houston because, remember, he tapped out there. He told the team, I don't want to be here with you guys. Right. So the players have that fuel.
Yeah.
And the fans also. Imagine if we had Deshaun Watson here. And next season, he tells us, I can't win here. I'm leaving.
Right. But
how angry we would be.
So let me tell you.
Okay, so that they are anticipating a hostile environment. And I think the thing they're even more off on, as we've mentioned a couple times today, is the players, the Texan players. I counted there's 8 guys on the team that even suited up with Deshaun Watson in an NFL game. I think the players... that's off the table. There ain't guys that are taking cheap shots at Deshaun because he demanded a trade.
Yeah, I think the sentiment of the fans is good, or accurate, but like the actual number, and I think even maybe the willingness to be super passionate about it right now, I'm not feeling it from the city because the fan base has been beaten down so hard over the last couple of years.
Landry and Brandon Scott in studio. What are you feeling?
I mean, Titus Howard basically said he was going to wear his jersey on the sidelines yesterday when he was asked about Deshaun Watson.
Titus Howard's jersey or Deshaun Watson?
Deshaun's jersey. I mean, he said he can't wait to see what he does. He's basically a big fan and all that type of stuff. But yeah, I don't think this atmosphere is going to be as rowdy as many anticipate. I was on with Carmen and Lima this week, and they were asking.
That's the morning show on our sister station.
I actually think there's going to be a lot of brown and orange. I anticipate there to be a lot of Browns fans. I don't think it's. There's going to be some hostility, but I don't think it's going to be like an atmosphere like, say, if he was going back to, I don't know, Pittsburgh or something like that,
or Cleveland. Like they did the thing where they applied their own sensibilities to Houston without like really understanding what the landscape is and what the mindset is and the mentality. Like, do they know that before all of the allegations that there was a rally held on Deshaun Watson's behalf, like after the trade request or somewhere between trade request and
here in Houston,
here in Houston, yeah. From lefties to NRG Stadium in support in support of Deshaun Watson. That was an actual thing. So, like, I don't think they're fully giving credit to, or maybe they just don't know or understand that there are people here that actually still like Deshaun Watson. There are Larrys and Staffers in the world, and there are Tonys and people like that in the world who actually are on Deshaun Watson's side, and think of whatever you want to think about it. But, like, I don't think they understand that there is an actual divide on Watson himself, even before, you know, everything kind of goes within Houston, even before everything goes left with the allegations and everything.
Yeah. I wonder, are they even aware that Deshaun has defaulted on his leases in Houston? Do they know what kind of a guy they're dealing with? That's for lefties.
They should be because he got a ticket going from the Detroit lefties to the Cleveland Browns facility or something like that.
A speeding ticket,
and dropped that little nugget to the officer. Yeah, I'm just coming from my lefties and going to Browns practice or whatever the hell he's.
Dropping lefties did not get him out of the ticket.
Deshaun name drops when he gets pulled over. It's not as the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, he did that too.
It's as a cheesesteak mogul coming back from corporate.
He's just kind of just dropping the hints like, I've got a cheesesteak place and I go to Browns practice. Wink, wink. You know what that means?
Yeah. I wonder. Well, the other thing too, when those guys are talking about, oh, wow, it's going to be a hostile environment. We're coming off of 2 years of watching the Astros go into, like, absurdly hostile environments where guys like the most beloved guy in the city, Jose Altuve, is having F-bombs rain down upon him. So I think, in my mind, that's what a hostile environment is. 20,000 mildly angry Texans fans just doesn't feel like the same thing.
No. And the N in NRG right now stands for neutral site.
Yeah.
It has for the last few weeks. Yep. The N in NRG Stadium right now stands for neutral site. It might as well be like Jerry World
was
in 2009.
Like. The jerseys in Bud Light Plaza, that will be a big topic on the pregame show on Sunday. And the jersey, how many Watsons Browns, how many Watson Texans? We were pointing out, this is Jadeveon Clowney's first trip back to NRG Stadium as well since he was traded.
That's right.
He's not played a game here at
NRG
Stadium.
They should make him and Watson captains.
You know what? I bet they will.
And Chubb and Denzel Ward because they were Texans draft
selections. And Farrell Brown.
Isn't that a thing like that coaches do when you go back to your old team or whatever?
Yeah, they do. If they have game captains, that's definitely something they do.
What do they got going on the show today? What do you got going on?
We got
on,
Chris Moore straight off the practice field. We're going to go through the history of quarterbacks taking number one overall. Is Bryce the answer? Plus, we're gonna answer this. Since Deshaun Watson said he wanted no part of the Texans, how has the organization improved? How has it changed? We'll get into that. We got a lot to get into.
Okay, good stuff. Brandon Scott in for John Lopez. Landry Locker, Figgy Fig, it's in the loop. Seth, see you tomorrow at 6. Antibodies to you.
Antibodies and tenants who pay their lease on time to you.
Indeed, especially for cheesesteak places. All right, we're done. We're out of time. 6 a.m. tomorrow. You got us back here for a Football Friday. Have a great day, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.